Welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast. This week, we're going to be tier ranking Phyrexian arenas. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, y'all finally made us do it. You've been commenting this for months now that we need to do a Phyrexian arena tier list. So today, we're going to tier rank some Phyrexian arenas. And joining me, we got the full crew, Tomer, Grim, Phil. How's everyone doing today? Are you excited to talk some S-tier card draw, obviously?
Yes. Sure, yes. Also, I can't wait just because, oh my God, the cutting room floor of this.
Yeah,
There's so many cards that we added to this list.
The definition was so hard, by the way, because you would think it would be easy to just be like, oh, Phyrexian tier list. We all had different definitions, and I bet you the end result, nobody's going to be happy, and you're just going to have to live with it.
We seriously started out with a list. I believe it's 55 cards, I believe, and we narrowed it down to 14 that at least three of the four of us agreed actually counted as a Phyrexian arena, and the other, like, 41 we just threw out. So yes, but before we get into that, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We got a couple of sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service fee to send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. And last week, we talked about cards that are good in any tribal deck, and our top comment comes from @someminecraftplayer8557 says, still waiting on Phyrexian arena tier list. Well, the wait is over, player. The wait is over. Today is the day. And that was actually, like, it had almost 400 upvotes or something. Everyone wants the Phyrexian arena tier list. So here
is
we go.
Is this fan service?
It's fan service.
I feel like we've just been bullied into doing
this. Priority bullied into doing this cast over something else. Yeah. Anyway, so before we get to the tier list itself, as Tomer mentioned earlier, we had a lot of disagreement about what actually counts as a Phyrexian arena. So actual Phyrexian arena, just so people know what you're talking about if you don't know, it's a 3-mana black enchantment that says, at the beginning of your upkeep, you draw a card and lose a life. So before we tier rank these cards, I want to know, how do you personally define a Phyrexian arena? Like, what is your definition? And let's start with you, Krim. How do you define Phyrexian arena?
Oh, boy. Let's also describe tempo. Okay. No. I think Phyrexian arena to me is going to be somewhere around 2 to 3 mana permanent. You don't need anything else to get the card. You're just going to get the card at the cost of life, right? And you get, like, maybe 1 or 2 a turn, but, like, no more. No silly, swingy, like, 72-card drawing. Right. So that's how I described it. And it's even better if it's an enchantment, but, like, it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. All right. That's actually pretty good. Phil, what about you? What's your definition?
I'd say 3 mana permanent that draws a card every turn in your deck. I think since you built your deck in a specific way, you can fulfill some restrictions or, like, stipulations to draw your card, although there are some cards that I would classify as a Phyrexian arena that did not make this list. But
Caretaker's Talent, perhaps.
A lot of cards didn't make this list. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
It's interesting. Krim mentioned mana value not really mattering that much. You said like two or three. Phil said specifically three, so that's a little bit.
I like the three. We often describe a card as a Phyrexian Arena, or ask ourselves in spoiler season, like, how good is a Phyrexian Arena in this deck or something? Or if you, like, once you have this assembled, like, that's a Phyrexian Arena. So,
and then Phil was a little looser with, like, it doesn't have to necessarily not depend on anything else. Like, your context of your deck can help determine whether you're
Ensuring Innocence is like a Phyrexian Arena for Phil.
To me, right? You can build your deck around it. It's not like if your opponent does X, because you can't bank on your opponent.
Oh, man, we're going to get two in the weeds, but like...
I know.
All right.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. I'm not even going to say it. We're going to get to our tier list. Tell me, what's your definition?
So I am kind of more like Krim, where I think a Phyrexian Arena is a permanent that draws you cards all by itself. It doesn't require any other cards in order to do it, because it's ultra reliable. It's a one-man show. So I don't consider like an Enduring Innocence, because that requires you to play other cards, nor would I count anything that requires you to have other cards on the battlefield or anything like that. And I'm also not a stickler on mana value. I don't consider the mana value at all for arenas. So I deviate a lot from Krim and Phil on that, where an arena could be any mana value. I don't care. But it's going to be related to what I rank it. Like, if it's a 6-mana, draw one per turn, it's like, I don't know, Staff of Nin or something. Yeah. I would say it's an arena. It's a bad one.
It's a bad
one. But it's an arena. And then I also, based on this thing, so again, I don't care about, like, your opponents doing anything. I don't care about your other cards doing anything. None of that is counted. And I also don't care about the mana value. And I'm not stipulating based on, like, drawing one card per turn. And that's going to come up in the spicy section later, which I'm very excited for, foreshadowing. But yeah, so that's how I deviate. It has to be just by itself.
So by draw itself. A card by itself, but then the mana value doesn't really matter. It can be more expensive. Okay, so my take, I'm kind of in the same ballpark as the rest of you. I don't have a firm mana value restriction. I do think it has to be like probably 4 or less mana for me. I think if it's super expensive, it doesn't feel like an arena, but it's basically a permanent that draws a card every turn without any extra requirements. Also, you can't really spend mana on it. So, like, the thing that makes a clue each turn that we got an avatar, like, that wouldn't count for me because you got to spend 2 mana on it. I also am kind of sus of creatures being counted personally. I gave a little wiggle room on this one because we have some creatures on the list. But for me, a creature doesn't really feel like an arena because it just dies to a wrath when an enchantment doesn't. So, in my ideal world, it would be a non-creature permanent, but I can give a little bit on there. But basically, a permanent that draws a card each turn without being dependent on anything and not requiring any extra mana and not being super expensive, and that counts as an arena. But we'll see what we're talking about as we go along, because we got a bunch of cards to tier rank, so we got to get into this.
Four definitions.
We had 50 cards and ended up with 14. Yeah, tell us what your definition is.
There's gonna be like 100 posts, 100 definitions in the comments. I'm so excited.
It's so funny because Phyrexian Arena, the first card we're gonna tier rank, it's actually a pretty straightforward card. It's a pretty straightforward card. Yeah, so Phyrexian Arena, 1 and 2 black, and you end up getting an enchantment that says at the beginning of your upkeep, you draw a card and you lose a life. So where do we rank Phyrexian Arena? Do you guys play this one, the OG?
C.
This is so funny because this card.
No, C.
Seed, no.
Yes.
I used to rank it actually at D.
Wow.
Right?
You did. You've come around though.
But now I'm back on it because it's so bad that it's good. Right?
No.
It's like don't respect it. It's too.
People don't
no one cares.
Because it's not worth respect. It's not worth respect.
It's a card. It could be anything.
The effect here is like it's just one card. You lose a life. It's only on your upkeep. You got to live that long. But essentially, you've paid 3 mana to do nothing, right? So no one respects it. And that's why it's good, because slowly it'll accrue value. Because you know how we always are like, we got to get Phil. He's got Caretaker's Talon out. He's going to draw like 100 cards. He's going to do all these things. That's too good. Mm. It's drawing too much aggro. This is so bad, you fly under the radar. I put it at B.
I'm actually even higher than you. I'd put it at A, but Tomer and Phil, where are you guys at?
I ranked it at A, but upgraded my grade after I ranked all of the arenas. I put the actual arena back up to A from B. And it's not because I play it, but I think it's... whenever I see it on Seth's side, it just feels... Must feel. I don't play it.
Good.
Must feel good to just draw two cards.
Draw two.
And, like, if you go, like, Lan over Elf into the... I don't know. Dark ritual. Into this, that's great. But I don't know. It's got to be... I'm always so jealous if I see it, and then every turn you draw two cards, it's 100% more cards.
Should play it more.
The thing that kills this card for me is it's an upkeep draw. So you have to wait an entire turn. Mm-hmm. You pay three mana. You put this on the board. You have to wait an entire turn cycle for it to cantrip. So turn one, you play it. Three mana, nothing happens. Turn two.
Oh, my God. I'm back down to B.
You're paid three mana, draw card next turn. Is that good? Oh, no? No, it's not good. Okay, three turns later. Yeah, so like turn one, turn two, you've drawn one card. You've cantripped for three mana. Very good job after two turns. Turn three, you have now divinationed. Three mana, divination, wait two turns to get your divination. Is this a good card? No, it's trash. It's horrible. You know it's horrible.
How long?
And then only turn four, you're like, oh, wow. After four whole turns, I've drawn three cards. Now it's gas. It's like, yeah, maybe for cost wise, you got Painful Quandary. Good job. You waited four turns.
No, you're
horrible. Just play Read the Bones.
It's ten cents.
You just play it. You just scry two. You draw two immediately for the same mana cost.
You're missing what Krim said. He has a very good point. And I've lived this many times in Commander. If I cast a Seagate Restoration, I just draw seven cards. Everyone's like, oh my God, we got to murder Seth. When I play Phyrexian Arena on turn three and then proceed to draw seven cards over the course of the game, people just laugh and let me do it. I've never had anyone be like, oh, I got to blow up that Phyrexian Arena.
Turns.
I got to kill... But I'm alive.
If I'm playing a bunch of horrible cards that don't do anything so good they're bad, guess what? I've done nothing while everybody eventually wins the game.
That's the one.
That's horrible. And then you also just assume it's going to survive forever, too. Like, I guess enchantments are indestructible for you. Horrible. If I just play these horrible cards... The game will end beyond me.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in, okay? I got it. I see you, and I understand. But in theory, that's true, but this plays so much better now. Whereas, like, you remember way back in original Commander, everyone would just kill you immediately because this card was so good?
Absolutely not.
Nowadays, I think this plays in a way where it's balanced and it's actually solid. Dude, like, I know you're thinking, like, by the numbers, I've drawn three cards on turn four, right? On my upkeep, whatever. But it's so much better than that. Drawing an additional card every turn is not something to scoff at, right? Yeah. It's only bad if you're drawing an additional card and you're drawing all the ire of the table. But like Seth said, he flies under the radar all the time. And every time we ask him how many cards he's got, he's like, wait, why do
seven,
you have like 50
six.
Cards? Yeah. Right? And
I don't believe
I think
you.
This arena.
I don't believe this at all.
I'm back on the arena train.
And you don't have to discard a hand size as much. If you burst drawn by a bunch of cards, you have to discard some of those to hand size. If you're just drawing one every turn, it's unlikely you have to discard to hand size. So, all right, so where are we going to put this? Tomer's at a C. I'm at literally, honestly, it's probably an S for me, if I'm being honest, because I just play it.
Okay. Calm down.
If the definition of S is you just play in every deck where you can, I kind of play this in every black deck. Like, if I have black, I play it. Which is kind of like the definition of an S for me.
I've been a hater on Arena since 2011. I thought it was bad even when I started playing Commander.
Okay.
I'm an OG hater. All right,
Tomer. Okay.
Just like run
Siphon
Mine. Run like an actual divination instead. S.
Siphon Mine. That's...
Please.
Okay, if you have the Apocalypse Old Border foil, it's an S.
Okay.
It is $175.
What if it's a reprint? What if it's the Dominator
United? Is it white bordered?
Okay, there is a pretty cool full art from Foundations. That's also pretty cool.
Otherwise,
I would still keep it at B. I graded it down again. Right. Because, yeah. Although, if that's the only bad card in your deck, it's pretty good because then the other cards you draw are good.
So I think
there are no bad cards in my deck.
We're going to end up with Arena.
So it only draws good ones.
We're going to end up with Arena at B. Tomer's low, I'm high, you're both at Bs. The thing that worries me about this is I feel like this is one of the best cards, so we might not have a lot of S tier today if we're putting Phyrexian Arena here. Next up, we have Black Market Connections, kind of a new take on Phyrexian Arena. It's a 3-mana enchantment in black. It says, the beginning of pre-combat main phase, choose one or more of make a treasure token and you lose one life. Draw a card, you lose two life. Make a 3/2 colorless shapeshifter creature token with changeling and you lose three life. So essentially, if you want to play it like an arena, it's an arena that triggers on your pre-combat main phase but costs you two life rather than one. Be at the upside of being able to pay life to make treasures or changeling creatures as well. So easy question. Above or below original Phyrexian Arena? I'm curious, where do you guys have this one ranked?
Come on, please.
All the way at the top.
I got it at this A, honestly.
Okay, hold on, guys. Okay, hold on. There's got to be at least, I know that even no matter how you feel about arenas, there's got to be a top dog, right? There's got to be at least one S through all of these. Is this not the S of all the Phyrexian arenas? Because it is a supercharged arena. Yeah, you pay one more life to draw the card, right? But now not only are you drawing a card, you're also ramping, and you could even get a 3/2 body out of this. Yes, that costs a lot of life. That is six life to do all modes. But I'm sorry, this ramps you as well? Come on. This is the best arena. This is arena.
It has to be better than Phyrexian Arena, right? Like,
sure.
It has to. It does. Like, you have to wait full turn. It has the same issue. Okay, it kills you, but at least it puts a body on the board, right? Like, okay, you're losing a bunch of life.
It's a changeling as well.
Yeah, it's more useful in like tribal decks or whatever, but it's also a 3/2
block.
Like it's a decent blocker. It saves a little bit of life. It puts you up in ramp. Like if I have to wait an entire turn cycle to get some value out of this type of thing, I'm definitely running this, but I'm not as high as Krim. I don't run it in many decks. I used to run in every
top
deck.
Dog.
I ran it in every black deck, and then I was like, this is not the best one.
If you want a hot take, I think this is actually just worse than Phyrexian Arena.
I like
Tomer when this card first came out, was like, oh, this card is amazing. I'm going to play it in every deck. I already believe in Arena. This is better Arena. So I started playing in every deck, and I had so many games where it's like, oh, Seth, why are you at 12 life on turn 6? And I'm like, oh, I played Black Market Connections on turn 3. I don't know what to tell you. And I just like, it's too much life. It's just too much life. Like,
you don't need to take them all.
Yeah.
But then why are you playing the card? Why are you playing the card?
Because we're not cowards.
Okay, so I got it.
I play this,
A,
but I don't play that one. But yeah.
I got it at A, and I would play it in maybe multiple of my commander decks if it wasn't still very expensive. Mm. It's like $15. And I do admit I will kill myself with it. I just built a Marilyn brawl deck and we forgot it last week, by the way, because it is good in every creature type base deck. And it triggers Marilyn and then it triggers Caretaker's Talent with the Changeling and the Treasure. Mm. And then you can even draw a card as well. So the Phyrexian Arena is stapled on. I would include ways to gain life in your deck.
Yes.
Because six adds up. If your commander gains life, this is almost strictly better or whatever.
You do need life
but
gain.
Need life gain because I'm way too greedy to not at least hit the full
you gotta take the six
thing
ball.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's already 12. That's
but worse than Arena.
I think it's a B. What? I think it's a B. I think it's a card that you play in creature type matters decks, right? Where you can take advantage of the shapeshifter token. You play in life gain decks where you can undo the taking six. But I think just playing it generically, like I'm a random mono black deck. I want a Phyrexian Arena. I play Phyrexian Arena. I don't play Black Market Connections because I just lose too much life if I play Black Market Connections. So personally, I would rank them opposite, but I think we're going to end up with this ranked higher based on what everyone else is saying.
Too much life.
Would that not be a you problem? Well, because I feel like
even if you just play like an arena, it's still 2 versus 1, right? It's still literally 100% more life. It's double.
That's
so
fair.
You're taking twice as much every turn, even if you just draw a card.
I mean, this is
you lose 3 every turn. That's how I see this. You get the treasure, you draw the card. That's usually what I do.
Okay, but like, we usually say the bottleneck is mana, not cards nowadays. So isn't it just good to get a treasure for 1 life and maybe even better?
Yeah, even.
So
that's actually the most important mode, I think, is make a treasure every turn. Like, I think that's
just a
that's the strongest mode.
That's just a commander sphere or something like that. It's not very good.
Right. No. It's so much better than that.
And it costs you life.
No, commander sphere, you have to lose cash in to draw a card eventually and you don't have to lose life on it. Like, this is not a great spot to be in. I'm sorry. That's why I cut it from most of my decks. But I'd rather run that over Arena. You can't pay me to run Arena in my deck. Ugh.
But does Commander's Fear trigger Caretaker's Talon Tomer? I think not.
Yeah, our synergies it gets better.
So what are our final grades on this? I would put it at B. Krim's got it in an S. A, B. I think the average is out to an A. Like, we got a B, we got an A, we got an S. Let's put it in the A tier. So I guess it is at a Phyrexian Arena. Let's move on to a cheaper arena. Maybe a cheaper arena. Does this even count as an arena? I don't know, but we're going to find out. And that card is Call. Oh, no. Is this not on the list? Oops. Hang on. Morgan, edit this to make me look small. Smart, not small.
Small.
Edit this to make me look small.
Do both, Morgan.
All right, Call of the Ring. 2-mana enchantment. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, the ring tempts you. And then whenever you choose a creature as your ring bearer, you may pay 2 life if you do draw a card. So 2 life like Black Market Connections, but you get to get tempted by the ring. Where do you guys rank this one?
And not an arena, because you need a
creature.
Not
an arena.
It's not an arena.
Yeah.
That is actually true. You need to choose a creature as your ring bearer.
That's why I was confused by you guys, but I was overruled.
Wait,
so.
Where do we have this on the list?
I thought we all had it listed.
Call the ring. I ranked it at B.
Well, you guys ranked it. I did not. That's
why Tomer,
I said.
Tomer said non-arena. I had it as a B. Honestly, if I had thought about how it worked more, I was thinking you just got to pay 2 and draw a card on your upkeep. I wasn't really thinking that you'd have a creature on the battlefield. I actually agree with Tomer that this card is not actually an arena.
I agree.
Well.
I always see
Shadow
it in
Rome.
My yeah. Right. Okay. I always see it in my collection and think, oh, I should probably play this. But then I think in practice, if your commander costs 1 mana, yeah. But
right,
I like this card. Like,
back into
it's a
Shadow
really
Rome.
Cheap source of card draw if you have like a lot of things. But if we're looking at arenas, then my definition at least now.
Well, guess what? I just deleted it. So let's keep moving on. We have a red arena. A red arena? Is that really
red
a thing?
Arena.
Count on luck. So. 3 red mana. It's meaning your upkeep. Exile the top card of your library. You may play it this turn. So an arena, but it's impulse draw, which I guess is a drawback, and it's triple red mana, so it's hard to splash. What do you guys think of this one? Is this one good outside of Prosper and like Exile Matters decks?
10 years ago, probably.
10 years. It's Red Phyrexian. I mean, this is as
it
close
is
as
literally
you can get to
red
Phyrexian arena.
This
it is
one
literally
is,
as close as you can get.
I actually do run it in one of my paper decks, and it's Clive, just because that triple red pip
triple
is good for devotion. Yep. But like, it's an arena. It's harder to cast to arena, and at least you don't lose life, I guess. But yeah, some Exile Matters synergies on top of it.
Yeah.
It's still garbage.
And impulse draw is just worse than drawing a card. Like, unless you're a Prosper style deck, like, you would rather just have a card in your hand rather than a card you have to look. You hit a counter spell. What are you going to do? You didn't actually draw anything that turn. So there is some risk, I guess, to the impulse draw in a generic deck. I would put this probably like low B, high C, personally. I think this
I
is
have
like
it as a C.
Good in specific decks, and I'm
I'd
not even sure if it's
C.
good in all of those decks.
Let's see.
Are you in agreement, Tomer, with a C?
I would put it ahead of Arena, but still.
Well,
no way.
Well, that's just because you think Arena's really bad.
Wait, what?
Because it has Exile Matters. Like, if I'm running an Exile Matters deck, I care about it. And Arena,
okay,
I'm not going to put it in any deck.
Matters.
Wow, Tomer just really, really hates Phyrexian Arena.
I don't like it.
Hot draw Matters. I literally play a deck where I draw 2 cards a turn to do stuff.
We're also comparing black to red. Like, red actually isn't good at card draw, so this is like fine. But yeah. Black is like you're falling, you fall somewhere and you just fell into 50 cards because something died, you know, like
that's because good. I get Phyrexian Arena. Of course Black is good at drawing cards. Let's keep moving on. Woo! To a card that I don't really play that much in Commander, but it's an Arena, Dark Confidant, 2-mana, 2/1 human wizard creature. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. You put that card in your hand and you lose life equal to its mana value. So where are we at with Bob? Krim, I hear you celebrating. Where do you rank Dark Confidant?
This bad boy, this all-star is at a B. Like, it is very, it's just good in the decks that I have him in. Like my
what
my decks
you actually
that
played in
the Punch Myself deck. So I got my Mr. Negative deck. Okay. I've got my Last Ride deck, and then of course my Humans deck. These are all decks that love Bob, and I you know what? I could still see me liking Bob and Bob effects because this is cheap. It's only 2 mana. And then it gets around Bowmaster. You just put it to hand. Of course, if they have a Bowmaster, he just dies anyways. But the main thing here is it does not get got by the, you draw clause. But you don't technically draw, but you do draw. And that is nice.
Like stocked up, man.
If you're good at Magic, you simply just reveal land and then draw the good card, right? Like that is simply, you got to practice your top decking. You simply just do that right.
But also, like, if you have 38 lands in your 99-card deck, like, you almost, it's not half the time, but, like, more than a third of the time, you're going to be revealing a land, no? Like, just on, so, I don't know. I run this in my Selenia deck. I think a 2-mana Phyrexian Arena is very playable. 3, absolutely not. 2, I'm okay.
A man
and
of taste.
My Selenia deck is, it says, the average mana value of your main deck is 2.38 with lands. So I'm taking on average 2.38 damage per turn off Bob. I'm okay.
Yeah. And the only difference is that Seth and I may be more a victim of this, but because we play MDFCs.
Yes.
If Seth reveals Seagate Restoration.
Seagate Restoration, Undo Inversion.
I read honestly, 4, but like...
I think this card's trash in the commander we play. Like, I think that it's good in like CDH, but I play big expensive stuff. Like, I don't want to be flipping 7 drops off my Bob, 8 drops. It's like the meme of hitting an Emrakul off your Dark Confidant in cube or whatever, and just dying. Like, that's live
just
a little.
Lands.
Seth, have you considered just doing what I said? Reveal land.
I know. I've been practicing my top decking crim. I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
I think this card is good even if you play high drops.
Personally.
What?
I
think it's busted in CDH, but go ahead, Phil.
Busted though. Yeah, okay. I don't know about CDH. So I play one mono black deck with a relatively low curve. So my Jadahak deck is 1.96 with lands and 2.98 without lands. So I guess you take about 2.5 damage if you're a little pessimistic. But then again, in this deck, you just draw a bunch of cards whenever anything dies. So I guess I wouldn't need it.
2 mana.
I don't know. Like
Arena.
While I'm jealous of arenas on the board, I am very lucky, happy I don't have the Dark Confidant on board because I've seen it flip on the inversions, the Seagate Restorations. I don't know.
There are many games Malakir where I feel like I want my Bob to die. But at the same time, I can't stop. There's just too much power in drawing.
Stop.
I risk it every time. There's no world
you
where
will,
come on,
I
mean,
right.
This
greatness
deserves a B.
At any cost.
I put Night Whisper in that deck. Pay 2, draw 2, and this one is pay 2, draw 2 in 2 turns, which is like not as good. But if you're in a Humans deck or something, Stonks goes up. And
but
I
one turn earlier, amazing. One less mana spent. Love this.
Yeah.
Is being a creature an upside or a downside in your opinion? Because I feel like for me, I'm a little sus of creature Phyrexian Arenas because I feel like they're just going to get raft and I'm not going to get full
value
out of them.
With this one, it's an upside. Because it gets
upside.
Raft.
you want this one. You guys are not selling me on this Dark Confidant card.
No, that's a good thing. It's all good, because then your opponent removes it for you, and in the meantime, if they don't, Like they, you draw cards. You just
keep
drawing cards.
And you go into Liliana next turn, and then you make them discard a card.
Thought see somebody. Yeah.
I think it's a solid B, better than Frickson Arena,
We'll leave it in B for now. But let's expand this conversation out a little bit, because we have two other cards. B for Bob. Two other cards that are very similar. So Dark Tutelage, it's literally the same card as Dark Confidant, except it's a 3-mana enchantment. But same trigger, the Bean of Upkeep, reveal the top card, you lose life equal to its mana value. And then Darkstar Augur, same exact trigger, except it's a 3-mana 2/3 flyer, and it has offspring for 1 mana, so you can pay an extra mana, and it comes along with a 1/1, and then same trigger as Dark Confidant, where Bean of Upkeep, you reveal the top card, take damage equal to its mana value. Where do you rank these compared to Bob? Are these better or worse than actual Dark Confidant? If we're putting Dark Confidant in B, is Dark Tutelage worse, better, same? Where are you at with Dark Tutelage and Darkstar Augur?
Tutelage is behind Count on Luck, right? That card is, like, bad.
I think this card's basically
Tutelage is
unplayable.
That's brutal. Yeah, that's going to kill you.
I'd be nice with a C, but it probably should be a D.
Somehow worse Arena. Somehow worse.
Yeah, because it damages you more.
I mean, it's Arena, but you, on average, you take twice as much damage, right?
If you're, and people see
what two or three times as much, and they see what you draw. What about Darkstar Augur? Is this better than Bob? Because it can come along with a baby and has flying.
Double
you
Bob?
Die twice as
fast.
Two Bobs. You die twice as fast.
For double Bob. I don't like it, but I like that it has flying. So I feel like it has some utility if you need to hit people for combat damage. Yeah. I feel like that's a little bit more appealing to me. Like if you have like, you know, cure saboteur effects where hitting people is important for you, I would run this over the other ones. But
flip
like,
your dousing dagger or whatever. Yeah, or like if the creature type matters, if you're like a bat deck or something, I guess, then that's fine. I think it's probably worse than Bob overall, just because it's more expensive, but about the same, I would say. What do you think, Crim and Phil?
I like this. A smidge over Bob because of the body and the offspring. The offspring means now I get to really believe, and that mantra of greatness at any cost, that is now essentially tattooed on my neck here, right? Like at this point. Like I am truly getting the thrill of double Bob. This card is so much fun and it's so much value. How could you not want this?
It is value.
Because it's a creature upside, because you can reanimate it easier, it can die easier, but that's probably for the better sometimes. And it's just a solid card though. This 2/3, it's such a fun balancing act to play with.
Wait, so what are our grades on Augur then?
I give it a B.
B, Phil.
C.
C, Tomer.
It's a B.
Me? All right. I think it's roughly around Bob, so I would say B2, I guess. So I guess it's right around where Dark Confidant is. Well, let's move on to a Spider-Man theme for Exian Arena. We have some Parker Luck here.
Oh, yeah.
So 3-mana enchantment at the beginning of your end step, which is better than the beginning of your upkeep. 2 target players each reveal the top card of their library. They each lose life equal to the mana value of the card revealed by the other player. Then they put the cards they revealed into their hand. So essentially, end step Frexian Arena, but you might take a lot of damage or you might not take a lot of damage and your opponent also gets to draw.
Oh, I'm bumping it up to an A.
This is so much peak fun.
Whoa.
Wait, it is fun. Wait. I'm putting it to A,
Tomer, you're bumping this to A. Why are you bumping this card to A? Explain.
Because so all these arenas, they really suck because you have to wait until your upkeep. I forgot that this is end step trigger.
Yep, end
and
step,
it's
2 baby.
Mana. It's 2 mana. So three, 2 mana the first turn. Is 3 mana? Oh, okay.
Yes, it is 3 mana, yeah.
Back to B. But I really like this one. It's my favorite one so far, actually. It's end step. It's really fun. It's political, where you can always find one person at the table who's like not doing too well and you can make friends with, but also you can nug them for a lot of damage in like a high mana value deck or something. I think this card is just super, super fun. And I like end step draw card. So
yeah, like that's why I have it in A, though. Because of that exact reason. You can politic, right? And then on top of that, like, you don't have to target yourself. You can just have 2 people do it and have them burn each other into the ground. You find the 2 highest mana value decks and have them do it. Or you play a game of chicken like I did with Phil and take 8 every turn.
Oh, my God.
I'm drawing that card.
I don't know if this is an arena. If you target
choose the
opponents.
Reanimate.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not choosing other people.
But you could. Right?
I mean,
and
so
that's the beauty of it.
The card's fun. I will not deny. The card is super fun. And it's, when it shows up in a game of Commander, it makes me happy because interesting things are going to happen. As far as just jamming it in a deck for card draw, though, I don't know. Will you guys just randomly throw this in a deck and be like, hey, this is part of my card draw package? I feel like I have to be kind of built around it in some way, or else
no.
I'm just too scared I'm going to die.
If I play
Unless
Bob,
I'm just doing it for fun. But from like trying to win, I don't think I'd put it in most decks.
But this actively helps you win as well. I mean, okay, if I'm willing to play Bob.
You never know.
Or lose, sure. Or lose. But if I'm willing to play Bob, then I am more than happy to play this because it triggers at end step. And
on,
like Tomer had mentioned, and it can potentially deal a lot of damage here. So I like this. This card, at the very least, I think, because I have it at an A, I think this is, you know, in Commander, better than Bob. And I'd argue that I'd actually think it's better than Arena. So I think this should be at the top of B if it's going to be a B.
Didn't we have a Commander game where we did some Rule Zero stuff and you got to play Keen Duelist as your commander?
Yeah.
Which is essentially this. And didn't you just die? I'm pretty sure. Didn't you just die to your Keen Duelist?
Yes, but that's because I leaned into like 50 of these effects and I was like, but I was, dude, I was, the power was coursing through me. Though. You know how much fun that was?
All right. Like, I run it in Selenia as well. I think you need to have like some sort of synergy with it. I'm not just jamming any deck, but I think this is my favorite Arena out of all the ones we ranked so far. So I would put it like top of the B's.
If you're trying to lose life, it obviously goes up in value. Phil, you haven't said much on this one. Where are you on Parker Luck as an Arena?
How did I rank it? A B.
You gave it a solid B.
All right. I think that was a little
I don't know.
I wouldn't
play it, and I guess I would play it at C. I don't know why I gave it a B here, because I mean I would play
understand.
An arena over this.
Yeah,
no, I'm not. This triggers
draw?
At end step.
No. Oh yeah, because of end step. That's okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but a bad trigger at end step.
Yeah,
not as
right
good
away,
as
Phil.
On your
own. There's no way this is a C if this is better than Arena.
I actually
how
would
is,
have it as a
how,
C too personally.
Wow.
Like a high C, but I mean, and this is discounting fun. I do think this is an S tier fun card where you're just like, I want to make wacky things happen, put it in your deck, and it's going to be fun for the table. And maybe I'm underestimating, like, the importance of that, right? But I'm trying to think of it from a, like, trying-to-win-the-game perspective. And I think from a trying-to-win-the-game perspective, I wouldn't put this in that many decks. But, like, in a I-want-to-do-wacky-things perspective, the card's amazing for that. But I think if we average that out, it is still, I think, a B. I know Krim was in the A's. Telmer was B. I guess me and Phil were both in the C's. So it's probably, like, a low B, I guess I would say. Yeah.
I think can we at least move it up against a past Bob?
I don't know how we get up there with two people having C's. I'll give you
all
half
right,
of this. We'll split
all
the
right,
Dark Star
right.
Auger. How about that? There we go. All right. Let's move on to a card that we are not ranking as a commander. We're ranking this as a Phyrexian Arena, Prosper Tomebound. A card that a lot of things are good in, apparently. A 4-mana Rakdos 1/4 with Death Touch. It says, at the beginning of your end step, exile the top card of your library. Until your next turn, you can play that card. And whenever you play a card from exile, it creates a treasure token. So end step, upside, making treasures. That's kind of cool. I don't know. What do you guys think of Prosper? Do you play? When I think of this, I think of it being a commander. And I don't know if I'm just tainted because it was a really popular commander for a while where a ton of people were playing this. I've never really considered just playing it in the 99 as a Phyrexian Arena. But I see how you could do that, and it would probably be fine in that role. But where do you guys rank this one?
I mean,
I can make it easy on you, Seth. It's not an arena to me.
Ooh, really?
Oh.
Why is it not an arena, Grim?
You already know my you know, my, like,
it's too much mana.
It's too much mana.
4 mana?
Yeah,
it's 4 mana.
I don't see me ever just playing this as an arena. Right, like this is definitely not like I'm gonna draw one card a turn fairly. This I'm looking to do some shenanigans.
The fairly part, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, while Arena gets you laughed at and won't get you killed, this one I will focus you. If you have a Prosper, I don't care if it's your commander. It's gotta do.
I mean,
disgusting stuff.
All right, I'm still gonna play the strong cards because this is the tier list, and I don't know. We were talking about how much we were like, oh, black market connections. You're drawing cards, but you're also making treasures. Prosper literally does that. It's like, yeah, without ignoring everything else. Yeah, it's one more mana, but you don't die, which is nice.
You do die.
You don't take damage.
He's also Death Touch, so it's not like super easy to just attack into him. As some, Rodrigo has a Prosper deck and has been playing it for like years. So like I know it's something you just put a Death Toucher on the battlefield. It's like, oh yeah, we should be attacking the Prosper, but like he has Death Touch. I'm not gonna run into that one. And then on top of that, if you end up running more Exile Draw, then the treasure synergy just becomes obscene. But like just by itself, you're drawing a card, you're making a treasure each time you play that card. That's an A from me, boss.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
It's a good blocker. And it's nice. You don't die.
We view Francine Arenas very differently, Domer. Mm-hmm.
That's a very good creature that you mentioned. Domer?
If you don't consider creatures arenas, then
but that's not even a good arena creature.
It gets the card on your end step, and
no, it's
it
very
gives you
good.
Treasures, so...
Sorry, it's very strong. Yes.
Okay.
But it is a bad arena creature.
What makes it bad, Krim?
Okay.
It's 4 mana, and on top of that, like once you get a Phyrexian arena. Is 3, right? I'll give you the pass.
So it's just
like
too much mana.
It's okay. Too much mana, and on top of that, this is more than just like I think a basic fair draw engine. This will straight up just warp the game around it, right?
Yeah. It's hard for me to see putting it above B. Like I can't really see myself just generically playing this, like off theme as a Phyrexian arena. If I'm doing impulse draw stuff and I'm going to be making a bunch of treasures with it too, then I think the card's we know the card's insane, right? Because it's a very powerful commander.
Good.
So we know it's a really good card. I think I would probably be like, probably a C, honestly, personally. Like high C, low B, another one of those. But Tomer, you were an A. Phil, where? You said C, Phil?
I ranked it at C because I ranked it as a Phyrexian arena, which it kind of, I wouldn't describe it as one.
Ooh.
Outside of this podcast, but I admit that it grants you card advantage once a turn. But to me, it's just so much else. But then again, I would say that Caretaker's Talent is one, so I don't know. I'd put it at B if we want to split the difference. All right.
We got so many Bs today. Another.
Wait. Does it count if I don't rank it at all?
Well, you
no, but you're left out.
I guess. Okay. I guess you're left out. I don't know. I'm not sure how we handle that. All right, we'll keep it in B and move on to a card that I honestly didn't even know existed before we were doing this podcast. Another one of those Streets of New Penit cards from Commander that I just missed.
Please don't tell me it's expensive now.
Protection Racket. Bucks. It's a 3-mana enchantment. It's black, like a Phyrexian arena. It says, the Beginner Upkeep, repeat the following process for each opponent in turn order. Reveal the top card of your library. That payer may pay life equal to the card's mana value. If they do, exile that card. Otherwise, put that card in your hand. So this could be draw 4 each or draw 3 each turn. It could be draw 0 each turn. Tomer, I see you smiling. You like this card. Tell us about Protection Racket.
So this is one of my favorite pet cards. I put it in. I have Vol'drath the Fallen deck, which is like the 7-mana or 6-mana, like a old border pre-modern commander. And it's like full of high mana value creatures because you can discard them to pump up Vol'drath and you can Voltron kill people. Like you discard Draco and stuff and one-shot somebody. So it's like full of high mana value. And I played Protection Racket a couple games in there and I was like, oh my God. Like you're missing on lands, but then I just keep getting like, I reveal like a 5 drop, and somebody's like, I don't want to lose 5 life to deny you card draw. Like I'm not gonna take that hit. Here you go. And even when it was going to like 4 and stuff, is like, I don't want to lose 4 life just to deny you some extra draw. Here you go. So I'd be drawing like 2 cards per turn pretty consistently. And I was like living. And then I put it in some other decks too that wasn't like super high mana value. It was working. But now that I'm thinking about the card, is it an arena? I don't know, because your opponents have to choose. So
I feel like
but this card's so good.
I think it is an arena.
I think it's one, oddly. Like, it's like a weird, risky arena, but I don't know. I think of it like an arena, too, even though it is kind of dependent on your opponents. I've never played this card, so I can't really speak to it firsthand. It seems fun. I do worry a little bit that, like, so not having lands means one out of three cards on average is probably going to be a blank, right? Because you're going to have 38 lands or whatever. So you might get two real cards. How many do you think you were drawing, Tomer? Like, did you have any turns where everyone's just like, in the early game, when everyone's at 40 life, you spin up their cards and you're just like, okay, I'll take four, I'll take three, I'll take whatever. Like, and you just don't draw any cards off of it for a while? Or doesn't it really, is it like Temp with Bunnies where in theory people could deny you it being good, but in practice, I'm always going to draw the card and you draw a million cards?
So the only time it bit me, like when I played it turn three or whatever, people would just give me the card unless it's a land. Then they'd be like, screw you, I'm zero to deny you, it's fine. But like the only times it was really annoying was if I revealed like a board wipe and something and somebody didn't want that board wipe to happen. And like you have to keep the turn order, right? So if the person that you're revealing the board wipe to doesn't want you to wipe the board, they can deny you it, which can be a little annoying, and then it bites you. But for in general, people never really denied me random cards because they didn't want to lose 3+ life on random stuff. Lands, I would never get. So on average, I would be getting like two cards off this, and I felt really good about it. I don't know.
Interesting.
This is like a fun card to play in like May, the 2-mana burn whenever you cast a non-creature, but any kind of burn deck, Lord of Pain, things like that, that's where I would play this, and I have played this in Lord of Pain, but my problem is people exiling your land is more important than you'd think. Just because sometimes I play the arena to set up my lands and resource system for the later turns, and not ever getting the land is actually a problem that I found, especially with how good lands are nowadays. And on top of that, I found that the exile, if it's my bomb that I want in the graveyard, that hurts.
Oh, that's
true. It really hurts.
If it's like a combo piece or something, it's kind of gone forever. If your opponent's going to see it and they're going to be like, oh, I can't give you Ashnod's Altar. I know what that does. So I guess if in some decks that might be an issue.
Yeah, like in Volrath, this makes a lot of sense because you're just trying to get rid of your high mana value thing. You don't care, right? Like you're just going to discard it anyways. But in any other deck that isn't like a Volrath, it does hurt. And it does hurt a lot that your opponents control your fates here. So although it is an arena, it is not as good as arena to me. So I have it at a C.
You still got your regular draw and stuff. It's just like...
Sure. But
whatever,
you're
it's
assuming
like mill,
I'm
you
good
know?
Enough to draw my lands.
It's like mill. It's like mill. It's like, oh, it's just a pretend that the lanes you got exiled, you never drew
you're
them
never
anyway.
There.
It's fine.
But the problem is also... Motto? When you exile your land or your protection spell, like imagine if I exile my darkness. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
whatever.
Whatever. I did see there. I did rank
it's
it
like
at B because all of these cards always play better than you would expect, just because of game theory, I guess.
I don't think it's an arena.
It's not really an arena because people can just straight up deny. You kind of just get the junk. Like, there are very good cards at, like, 2 mana. So if you have a Bowmaster, they're probably just going to say no.
Nope.
Or like Dorothy Voidwalker and Blood Artist. And you can just go through all your 2-drops because they're probably good if you play them in your black deck. So you kind of just get the expensive parts and the worthless stuff. I don't know.
It's just free value. What you have?
It is
all
free,
bad,
but I really don't like exiling. Like, so look, every set comes out, and I get the cool versions of the cards I love, and then I put them in my deck, and it hurts because I have to cut already cool cards, and then people can decide to exile them.
But then you get to see them.
If it's face down, I say okay, they didn't know. But if I know what I would draw, and they say nope. And then I paid like $30 for these Bowmasters and they're gone.
think of it this way,
random,
you're on your
like
turn.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And also on your turn, instead of drawing one card, you're drawing one card, and then you're getting three extra cards that you get to show to the people and be like, look, look at this cool new foil I picked up. You got three of them. You know?
That is true. You get to show off all your treatments, your old border foils. Show them.
Imagine
all
an
like
arena.
I help
arena
you show off
sees
your cards
three
by
extra cards,
you
but your opponents get to decide whether or not you keep them. I don't know. I think that's better.
I think the card's fun. I'm going to try it.
It's fun.
Because I feel like it's going to
be fun.
That's so
play
good.
Better than it reads, maybe, but I would still probably put it in C tier, honestly. So wait, what are our votes? I got it at C. Krim, you were at C. Phil, you were at B or C?
I ranked it at B, but only if it doesn't hit it up to B. Like I like it at C where it is
okay.
Right now, just as an overall.
And then Tomer, I'm sorry, you got outvoted on this one.
I mean, I think it's an A, but I also don't think it's an arena in hindsight. So.
yeah, that's fair. Well,
it totally is.
So we got lucky to make the list. Speaking of not an arena. This one I'm not sure. This one I was very on the fence because it breaks one of my rules, which is you got to pay a mana to do it. And that was one of my things is if you have to pay extra mana, it doesn't count. But then I feel like this card actually feels arena-y enough that I don't know. I might give it a pass. Ripples of Undeath. So it's a 2-mana enchantment. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you mill 3 cards. Then you can pay a mana and 3 life. If you do, you put a card from among those cards into your hand. So you're filling your graveyard. You get a little card selection. You get to look at your top 3. But then you do have to pay mana and 3 life if you want to get one of those cards. Is this an arena? And where does it rank? I think this card's good. Krim, did you play this on a Commander Clash? And it, like, looked really good. Like, I remember it popping off.
Yeah. This card is an S for me. I love this card. Cards, it's arena with card selection. Right? Like, I will gladly pay the 3 life in a mana. I know that may not... It's weird because, like, I, too, have that restriction, right? Like, I want it to not have me do anything, right? Like, I just want to get the card anyways. But at the end of the day, just one mana to get whatever I want from the cards milled?
Nah.
Like, and the one thing that's nice is, like, okay, on the turns, like, let's just say Black Market Connections, Arena, I want to opt out of losing the life. I can.
Yeah,
so
that is true. You can just fill the graveyard.
This is the other card that I would nominate as an S when it comes to arenas. Having an arena that allows you to get card selection and on top of that only be 2 mana up front, I love this.
What about you, Phil?
I ranked it at C, but it's just because it's so far off what I would...
Not Phil's style.
Barely describe this as an arena. I do admit that if you want to fill your graveyard, like if your whole commander is built around filling your graveyard, it is almost just milling the cards as card advantage enough. But then again, if we're talking about building your deck around using this, like, well, the talent's got to be an arena.
right, yeah. Then a lot of things.
It's also too the
but you don't
pay mana. So it is very
you
good.
Don't need
you
anything else to make this tick. Right?
Yo, you need lands. What if they ever get on? You can't play.
Okay. But like, I gotta cast a creature that costs 2 or less, right? With Enduring Innocence.
Yeah,
I gotta do a lot more than a 1 generic.
Innocence, yeah.
So
it is.
I
very
mean, technically,
good.
All these cards you need to do something. You have to pay the mana cost, right? So
right.
I think if you could pay the 2, then you could pay the 1. But
you need to open a booster pack at some point and get the card.
The sleeve.
Someone had to print it. Where do you rank this one, Tomer?
I really like this card, but like I wouldn't run it outside of like graveyard decks too. But... I think like if it's a graveyard deck, this is an S because just you don't even need the cards. Just the mill 3 every single turn is already it's not a full card by itself, but like being able to mill is a huge benefit, and that's why I feel like paying the 1 each turn is good. But if I'm not in a deck that cares about the graveyard, then I don't like constantly paying that 1 in 3 life to get the card.
You don't have to constantly do it.
And I would
I mean,
say,
if I'm not, then I'd rather run other card draw.
But isn't it nice to have card selection as opposed to 1 random draw?
Yeah, but if I have to pay 1 to draw the card, then it cancels out.
And also, like, if I'm not a graveyard deck, I don't know if I actually want to be milling 3 every turn. Like, if I'm not
getting lightning bolted every single
doing,
turn.
Yeah, it's like, so I'm kind of, I was going to say almost exactly what Tomer said, where I think this card is absurd if you're a graveyard deck, But I think that makes it B based on our normal criteria, where I think it's like really good in a specific deck, but I wouldn't play it in just like a generic like mono black devotion deck, I don't think, or something, just some generic black deck. But
so I would, but that's crazy.
Krim would. Oh, so I guess we have another B tier, everyone, except Krim landed in B. So many Bs. I think this one might be better than B, though. This is our newest Phyrexian Arena, and I think this card might actually be good. So this is Sinister Gnarlbark. Oh, yeah. It is a 3-mana 0/4 Treefolk Warlock. It's from Lorwyn Eclipsed. And it says, at the beginning of your end step, draw a card in Blight 1. So you have to put a -1/-1 counter on a creature you control. End step trigger, so you get the first card right away. It's got a big butt, so you can blight on it for several turns. And then you blight on other things as well. The only downside I see on this card is it is a creature, so it's going to get swept up potentially eventually. But is this not like about the best way you can build a Phyrexian Arena? You get the card right away, like there's no additional cost. I would put this in A tier, I think, but where are you guys? Maybe you got to talk me down on this one. Am I too high on this new Treefolk?
I like the end step.
I'm at B, but you might talk me up to it. I didn't. I kind of thought it was a 1-3. So at 0-4, you can really... And also, if you have like a decayed zombie or something, you want to put this on.
Oh, Jadar, yeah.
Yeah.
I think in the right decks, it can pop off for sure. But like, I do think again, that we should not underestimate the Blight 1. That is a real cost.
I don't think it's really a cost. You can
do this 3 times at least before it dies.
You can do it 4 times, and then you get to arena 4 turns, and I think that's long enough for an arena to last, in my opinion. But like, it's so much better because if you build around it, obviously, like Blight decks, obviously, but also just like any sort of Aristocrats deck, you know, you just have stuff that you want to die anyway, and you just keep blighting that, and that seems
sure.
But that would be a B, though.
I think it's a B, a very strong B.
I feel like better than like a random Bob or something because it's the end step and it lasts long enough. Like I don't really consider the Blight 1 that big of a deal.
this is the B tier, the B tier cast. Everything winds up in B eventually.
I'm saying if there's got to be an S, that's why I'm like, okay, which of these is the S, right? Well, and I think that's Black Market Connections, but
I would give the Treefolk an A.
An A? Where would you put this one, Phil? You said B, you think?
Like, when I think about it, yes, the end step is great, but I still, now that I look at this list again, I'd either rank all the Dark Confidence a grade lower or put the original Phyrexian Arena back to A.
I'm telling you, this card busted. It doesn't deserve to be in the Dark Confidant tier. The Parker
Dark
Luck.
Confidant's
we're saying
not
that's
bad.
The good Parker Luck. Yeah,
Parker Luck is just straight up an upgrade to it. Hey, I've been what? Secret Rendezvous but Pool filled, apparently.
Other people draw cuts. It's not...
You're giving away free value.
Politics.
Yeah.
Well, the good news.
Yeah, the politics is good.
The good news, Cram.
I just snuck up the original TNT.
Hey, there is some upside to being the person that controls the mouse.
Wow.
Good news is, Cram, we have 2 more cards. So maybe we get our S tier card out of here. For example, we have this card.
Boy.
It's called the Toy Maker's Trap. It came from the Doctor Who set. It's a 3-mana black enchantment, like any good Phyrexian Arena would be. And then it says, at the beginning of your upkeep, secretly choose a number between 1 and 5 that hasn't been chosen. If you do, an opponent guesses which number you choose and then reveal the number you choose. If they guess wrong, you lose life equal to the number that they guessed and you draw a card. If you guess
they
right,
lose life.
They lose life right. And you draw a card. If they guessed right, you have to sacrifice Toymaker's Trap. I don't know what this card does. Some sort of guessing game, and maybe you draw a card, and then it sacrifices itself. I didn't see this episode of Doctor Who, so I don't know what they're going for here. This card sucks, right? It's got to. Yeah. This card has to be.
I didn't know this card existed, and I can see why. It literally gets worse over time, right? Because if you have a 1 in 5 at the beginning, okay?
And then 1 in 4, and then, 3.
So you have to wait a full upkeep, and if they guess it, you don't even get a card, and they lose a meaningless amount of life. And then
but
each
you could get
turn,
it,
gets
and they
worse.
Would lose life. right?
Oh my god, it's and then, so this so is it's a card and a bad. Burn spell.
And then you got to sacrifice it eventually too when they guess right. They could just guess right the first time. It's 20% and then it's just done.
If they guess like one so and you pick one, then it just was one life. Like that's not even a life loss.
That's honestly insulting for me to cast this. Yeah, it feels like one of those old cards that you read and it gets worse with every sentence and it's like unnecessarily complicated for nothing.
This is what I wish UB was, but
This has to be the worst card we've talked about, right?
This like, is this an has arena, to be.
Yes,
but it is bad.
I would still call it an arena.
It is very bad.
Finally found something worse than Phyrexian Arena. This is actually the bottom. This is actually the bottom.
All right, last.
It's funnier than Phyrexian Arena at the very least. So.
If we were doing a funny tier list, it would actually be probably A tier, I think.
I would run it before Arena.
No, you wouldn't. I don't even believe
just
that.
Just for the
memes. That was a content take.
That's for the
Our last arena, Wild Wasteland, 3-mana red enchantment. You skip your draw step for some reason, but then beginning your upkeep, you exile the top 2 cards of your library, and you can play them this turn. So skip your draw, but you get to double impulse draw. Is this card good in Prosper? Is that where we are with this?
Classic.
There's other decks.
It is good in Prosper.
Good with Thaldorn.
Good
in Rocco. Let's go with that.
I like this more than the other card.
Count on luck.
It's not triple red. I play this in my loot deck. It's hilarious. But it's not triple red.
Count on luck? It has loot on it.
It has loot on it.
I can see him from here, unfortunately.
It's so red.
Think about Clive.
Triple red. Oh, in your loot deck, though. In a 3-color loot deck, triple red would be a downside, I think.
But yeah. If you're playing a loot deck, you better have the loot art card, no?
Fake loot fan. I know. I'm a fake loot fan. But, like, I can't
Where's your shrine, even?
Yeah, really?
Look, your shrine?
If people would be more accepting of the Urborg in red, I'd be down. But unfortunately, people don't like Blood Moon. So that would be the only way I could cast this, right?
So this card, I feel like it's probably great in an impulse draw deck. Like, you get to impulse draw 2 every turn. That's, like, very, very good. I don't think I'd ever play it outside of, like, a Prosper, like, one of those impulse draw style decks, though. Would you just play this in a random red deck, anyone? Anyone that just, like, jams this for value?
The problem is you can't play this on 3, right? That's the cool thing about it's like a, I don't know the English word for it, but you kind of let your money pay. You pay an amount and then you let just get a little account that works for you. You can't do this with this because then you're kind of, unless your mana curve is insanely low or you have like a bunch of free mana, like fast mana or something, you can't. If you play this on 3, you might just hose yourself and then it gets worse every turn. If you start missing your land drops, you don't have your draw, you're in red, so you can't just play other draw spells, otherwise you wouldn't play this.
You'll find your land drops.
How did I rank this? Probably at a C, but
I think it's better than Count on Luck.
Skipping your draw step is a huge drawback, right? Because that means eventually you're going to be only impulse drawing because you're going to spend all the cards in your hand and you're going to have empty handed and you're just going to have this. I feel like that's
you kind of
pretty big downside.
You really have to play these cards, otherwise
I don't know.
You got to be super low curve.
I think it's better than Count on Luck.
I think it's got to be C tier, though, right? Anyone going to disagree with, like, C tier?
I guess, you could talk me down to it. I was like, in the decks that it's good in, though, it's very strong, right? Like, it's...
Like in Prosper, Rocco,
Zell, though,
Thaldorn.
Like, Zell as well, the red one.
Zell, yeah. I don't think anything specifically cares about play from Exile, then I think it's worth it.
I still think Count on Luck's better just because it has the loot art, but
I'm
a little biased.
All right. Huh. Well, I guess that's our tier list.
Do we have the honorable
mentions?
There's
so many. Can we do an honorable mention? Because there's so many that were omitted, and I'm surprised one of them isn't on here.
We're gonna do a quick segment here, where everyone gets to choose a card that they think is a Phyrexian arena for whatever reason, but that we didn't make it on the list because other people disagreed. So this is your chance to get your controversial personal pick out there. And Krim, I know you're just talking about it. Let's start with you. What is your Krim card for the list?
How is Unholy Annex not on here?
Oh,
wait,
true.
Unholy Annex? It is. We all ranked it.
Oh, yeah, no, on it. This, like, the
oh, you're right.
Heroes.
Yeah,
yeah,
we just straight up forgot
you're
about
right.
it.
I think that was just a mistake, yeah.
oh, that's okay. An eight.
It might be one of the best ones, so.
Okay,
let's,
I was like, hold on.
It actually is.
All right, hang on. We can ninja it in.
We can fix it in post. It's right. Fine.
Morgan, this is like WWE.
Morgan, make me look small. You can do it. This is a room, so you get two halves of it. Unholy Annex side, 3 mana. At the beginning of your end step, you draw a card and lose 2 life. And then Ritual Chamber, 5 mana. You get to make a 6/6 demon with flying. And then if you have a demon and you have the Unholy Annex, rather than losing the life, you gain the life. So if you have a demon, you gain 2 and draw a card on your end step. Krim, I know you're a demon believer. This card's got to be great in your demon decks, right?
I'm down with my demons and also just down with good cards. So I love this. Is this not an S for arenas, right? Because you have the upside of potentially now burning your opponents and gaining life. And on its own, it makes the demon, right? Like, it already makes the demon for you. Yeah, if they answer the demon, sure, then you start losing 2 every turn. But, like, in a non-demon deck. Is this card not just really good triggering also at your end step, which we've been talking about?
End step is nice. Ansep is nice. It does make a demon. I mean, we've seen it be very good in standard over the last couple of years.
I mean, unless you're a demon deck, you're going to be losing that life, right? Like, you're going to play it, you're going to lose a life, and then eventually you're going to find a way to get, like, you're probably going to cast other spells. You don't want to make pay 5 mana to make a random 5/5 or anything.
Why not?
And then when you want to cast your other things, no?
But if you just make a 6/6, like, I'm okay with just passing the turn. I'm drawing cards, burning people, yeah. Like, sure.
But then when it dies for the rest of the game, basically, you're going to be losing life again. That said, it's end step draw over upkeep draw. So it's like, it has to be better than Phyrexian Arena by far, right? Like, by far, like, not even close. Right?
I agree.
Right?
I don't know if Seth can let that.
No, it's I actually think this card's very good too. I don't think it can be S tier because I don't think it can be S tier because
what is S, guys? The people need to know. What
I have an S coming.
There might not be an S tier arena. Like, maybe there is just not an S tier arena. There I would bet it'd be an original arena, but yeah,
the
no,
people they refuse to believe what the gospel says, but it's coming.
Okay,
but it has to be better than Phyrexian Arena. Come on, right? Come on.
I do. It is. It's ahead of Phyrexian Arena. It's ahead of we put it up at the top of the A's. At the top of the A's. I do think the card's very good. 2 a turn is not unheard of, and you should be able to fizzle at least a couple turns by making that demon. And if you're a demon deck, then I think it actually is just like straight up. There's probably one of the best cards in a demon deck. Like, it's so good. If you can actually, if you're gaining life and drawing 2 on your end step, the card's busted. So I think it's like for me, it's a solid A. Like, I could see playing this over Phyrexian Arena.
It
just
combos
a
with
deck.
Black Market Connections.
Oh.
Dang. You get to lose
combo.
All the life.
Yeah, you can lose 8
I'm
life.
I'm taking 8 a turn.
Only once. Only once.
Oh, the Changeling. Yeah, the Changeling is cute. That is good.
That is good.
Good call. So, Krim. I don't even think that counts as your pick because
I think
that was just an oversight that it wasn't on the list. So what is your actual controversial pick or Krim pick?
Okay, this breaks my own rule of some of the other choices here, but the Speed Demon. Is this card not sick though? Like, it's the 5 mana.
It is
you remember
sick,
this demon?
It is pretty good.
Again, it draws at your end step again. It draws cards equal to your speed level at your end step.
This is an arena to me. This is, by my definition, this is an arena. This is straight up an arena. It's so good.
It's like a good arena.
Five mana.
5 mana, but really good. This is a super efficient arena and will draw silly levels of cards.
S.
You really put this at S tier?
It's not
S.
an arena for me.
Yes.
It's a
5-mana 5/5 flying trample, and then you also get to draw cards.
I do think it is a generically good card. Like,
and
just
then eventually
generic.
You draw more cards if it sticks
around.
Yeah,
the ring is also a generically good card.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, but the ring is too good of a card, right? Like,
no,
and not an arena.
So that's the...
Yeah, but this card is an arena. This card is arena.
Enduring Innocence is an arena. Okay. This is an arena.
I actually think this counts as an arena. Like, if 5 mana is kind of pushing it to the top of my range for what counts, but I think this counts. And I think this card's actually absurd. This actually might be S-tier.
Somebody more cards, though.
I remember.
Where does it say on the fine print that a Phyrexian Arena has to draw one card each turn? Nowhere. That's
on
where.
On Phyrexian Arena. When the card is called Phyrexian Arena.
No, but we're saying count on luck. Count on luck's an arena, but it's an impulse draw. It doesn't even put it. It doesn't even say draw card.
No, no, but you don't draw your original card, so you end up at one extra card.
It evens out. Yeah,
it evens out.
I remember when I first started playing Commander, I used to play Bloodgift Demon in every deck, and then this card, and this is like
that's an arena.
It is very good.
Oh, it's so good. So yeah, I mean, I'd probably put it A tier, maybe even S tier if it was on the list. So
I would S tier it.
Yep. You would S tier it. I would also S tiering it.
Yeah. Has exceeded my expectations.
I'm not gonna rate it as a Phyrexian Arena.
Well, Phil, what would you rate as a Phyrexian Arena?
It's gotta be Caretaker's Talent. I know.
Yes.
If your deck is built around a specific thing, I think it is kind of the nature of how the game will progress that you will trigger this once each turn. That being said, Caretaker's Talent is certainly the best one of those because you can draw right away, you can draw in other people's turn, you can activate it yourself to draw and copy a token, then it becomes an overrun. Well, it's another card that we could rank as a phenotype.
Ooh, yeah.
I admit, though, that this is kind of pushing it. Dawn of a New Age is another one. You need some creatures for this. I don't know. Once you open up to... I just like 3-mana enchantment is like, and then once each turn, that checks so many boxes that I would say this is like the crazy version of.
Definitely good cards.
I would actually back up, like, it's so tough trying to make a criteria for this, because I actually feel like this counts as an arena too. But then when I think about this, if I count this as an arena, kind of like Phil said, it opens up this huge can of worms where then I have no idea how I'm defining arenas anymore. Because if this counts, then you just keep going down that road, and the next thing you know, everything's in a Phyrexian Arena. So I had to not include it on my list just because of that. But when I see you play this, it very much plays like an arena in the decks you play it in, where every turn you're drawing an extra card for not doing anything that you weren't going to do anyway. And sure, I'm sure there are situations where you got farewelled and then played it in like whatever, like a situation where it didn't happen. But so much of the time it did happen that I actually think this plays like an arena. But I just didn't feel comfortable calling it arena because I felt like the can of worms would just be too big to sort through with all the other cards that would come along with it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right.
I agree.
Tomer.
All right, here it is.
Here it is. What's your pick?
Oh, please.
It's a little card called the One Ring. One Ring. We were talking. Wait. What were we saying for the definition? Where it's like it's a permanent, it's repeatable draw. It doesn't require any other cards to do the card drawing. It does it all by itself. And guess what? The arena does that. Okay, yes, it's not 3 mana, it's 4, but guess what? It's worth that extra mana, all right? You play it, it's instead of upkeep draw, it's even better than end step draw. It's now draw. Tap to draw. So you get that draw immediately, and then next turn, untap step. Oh, that means I get to do it again. I even lose life if that's one of your criteria for Phyrexian Arenas, is you must lose life to draw the cards. It even does that too. It is the best. It is. It's like talking about like counter spells, and it's like, yeah, okay, the One Ring is too strong. Well, it's like, well, we're comparing cancel to Fierce Guardianship. Obviously, Fierce Guardianship looks too strong. The One Ring is the strongest Phyrexian Arena. I rest my case. It's an S.
No,
it's an S+.
Because Phyrexian Arena is a balanced draw engine, not a one-stop shop everything.
I didn't say balanced. This is the best. We're looking at the best.
Look at all these cards. We're ranking Bob's. We're ranking Phyrexian Arena.
Yeah, sorry. Both arenas are crap.
The One Ring is good.
All these Bs? Terrible. I don't even know how Phyrexian Arena is an A, but The One Ring is S. I'm sorry. I rest my case.
The One Ring. No. The One Ring is great. Like, but it's not
Seth,
a Frexian arena.
Don't go on this arena. Do not go on your tangent and sneak the arena up to an
it's
S.
Not, oh, what are you talking about? I misclicked.
He was thinking about how much he loves the One Ring, and he put it as S.
Yeah, I was trying to put the One Ring up there for Tomer, and I must have clicked the wrong button.
I mean, Seth, you're the biggest fan of the One Ring, so you have to admit that it's the best arena. Come on.
I just don't think of it. So for me, the One Ring, and I don't even know if I can articulate why I don't feel like it's an arena, but it just does too much. Like, I think it's because it draws so many cards, maybe. Like, I think of arenas as drawing a card a turn. And once you're drawing, like, I've just seen the games where the One Ring's, like, you draw 15 over the, like, five turns. And that just, like, arena doesn't do that. I think the other thing, and it's too good in the sense that when I play the One Ring, everyone's like, oh, my God, I got to kill Seth. And when I play in front, like, kind of like we talked about earlier, but when I play in Frexian Arena, that doesn't happen. Like, it draws the heat, so the so bad it's good argument. So I don't know why, like, it doesn't feel like an arena to me. But it for some reason, the One Ring doesn't feel like an arena to me. But
that's
when you read it, like, it kind of plays,
ring.
Like, an arena, yeah.
Even bringing the One Ring into the Phyrexian arena discussion is insanely disrespectful
to the One Ring.
I feel like you gotta understand that, right?
Like, kind of is.
It kind of is. Right?
It's like, literally fits all of Seth's and my criteria to a T. To a T. It draws all the cards by itself. You don't need to do any other card shenanigans with it. Perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
Well, Let me pitch you mine, because I think I'm just being a big hypocrite here, because this actually draws more cards than the One Ring does right away. But I'm curious what you think of this. This wasn't even on our list, but it's a card that I've seen people play. I've messed around with it a little bit, and I think it's kind of good. Struggle for Project Purity. So this is a Fallout card. It's a 4-mana blue enchantment. You choose Brotherhood or Enclave.
Oh.
Enclave is whenever a player attacks you with one or more creatures, that player gets twice that many rad counters. Don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Brotherhood is, at the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent draws a card. You draw a card for each card drawn this way. So it's essentially cut a deal every turn on your upkeep. Each of your opponents draw one, you draw three. Each of your opponents draw one, you draw three. I think this card's actually, I've seen cut a deal be very good. I feel like this is also very good. Like, you get to do that every single turn. Sure, you're giving your opponents a lot of cards. I think it's a little stretch to call it an arena, because three cards a turn is a lot, but it is just sitting there doing this. No extra, you know, value needed. You don't have to do anything extra. What do you guys think? Is this card good, and do you count it as an arena?
I think it pushes right outside of the requirements in mana value, but I think it's still an arena.
Because on its own, the One Ring, no. Okay.
Is this
how it is?
Huh. Hold on.
This
one
I feel like is close. I feel like this one's close.
I think people just have hatred for the One Ring in their heart, and it's clouding their judgment.
I don't
know.
It is, like, I feel like it goes more into Descent to Avernus and stuff, like these
more
huggy cards that you try to get more value out of. I don't think if we. So. I think one criteria is that if we would see this card in spoiler season, somebody would choose the term Phyrexian Arena to describe it, which we do quite often. But for this, I think we would describe it as card a deal every turn.
That's true. That is true. I probably would describe it that way.
I would love if you play this, though. I would love to
I'm sure you would, yes.
Your reliquary tower.
This is 100% an arena, because, like, your opponents don't get a say on whether or not they're going to be drawing your card.
That's true.
It just happens. So as long as you have an opponent, which, I mean, if you don't have an opponent, then you already won the game, or lost the game, I guess.
Oh, you never play?
Yeah, that's the way I do it.
It doesn't. It's garbage, but it's
garbage.
Kind of feels like good. Just play Secret Rendezvous. I can't believe I'm defending Secret Rendezvous.
Yeah,
but
you are
is so
hard
much better
to.
Because then you can politic this. Kind of deal is no. There's a kind of deal is the worst named magic card in existence, because there's no deal making. You're just giving your opponents a card. There's no deals involved. There's no politics. It's the most mislabeled card in existence. It's awful. You just give them the card.
That is
kind of true. Hope for the best. And
that's
I
fair.
do not like it, and I do like this card as well.
Wow. All right. I regret picking that one. Well, I think it's good, and I'm going to play. And
I think it's an arena,
more.
Though. I back you. I hey, back okay. you on this.
Hey, at least I managed to get that right. We picked an arena for our arena tier list. Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of our arena tier list podcast. What do y'all think? Were any of these, outside of actual Phyrexian Arena, of course, even Phyrexian Arenas, what counts as an arena? What's your favorite Phyrexian Arena? Let us know in the comments, and we'll be back next week to argue about more silly Commander stuff. So until then, have an amazing week, everyone, and this is a crew signing out.